In all the stories of the kings in the Old Testament, you could hardly find a sadder story than that of Manasseh. And I believe this is one of the pictures in the Old Testament that can be of help to us. Manasseh's father was a very good man, Hezekiah, one of the kings of Judah. He helped the people to get back to God. He was a man who knew the Lord in a very wonderful way. He died when his son Manasseh was 12 years of age, and 2 Kings chapter 21 tells the story of this prodigal son of the Old Testament. He certainly turned away from God and the teaching that he had from his father. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, one of the heathen gods, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel. That was for the purpose of immoral worship of a heathen deity, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire. That was a heathen observance, a god they called Moloch. And they took their little children and tossed them into the red-hot arms of this god in which a fire was built. Terrible things that they did. Observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. That was Old Testament spiritism. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now this sad story of Manasseh shows how the human heart goes, and that there is no such thing as inheriting from our parents godliness. This man had a godly father and probably a godly mother, and yet he turned completely away from everything he'd been taught. Maybe I'm talking to some right now who have heard the gospel all their lives, who have been brought up in Christian homes, but you've turned away to idolatry. You've loved something else beside God. You've turned to immorality. Well, this man even filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. He was a murderer. Some of you to whom I'm speaking have rejected your father and mother's God. This man provoked God. And finally, God spoke to him, and he would not hearken. This is one of the saddest things of all in Manasseh's history. It's a sad thing in your history, too, if God has been trying to speak to you and you wouldn't listen. He tried to speak to you through his word, and you wouldn't open the book and read it. He tried to speak to you through sending troubles into your lives. Some of you lost a little child, and instead of listening to the voice of God, taking that little lamb in his arms and to his home, so to lead you there, you turned away in bitterness and rebellion. It's a terrible thing to refuse to hearken to God. Someday you'll have to listen to God. Someday you'll have to hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." But he isn't talking like that now. Even the troubles that he sends into our lives are intended to draw us back to him. He's saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, the book of Kings, from which I just read part of the story of Manasseh, puts a special emphasis on man's history, while Chronicles, which follows the books of the Kings, Chronicles emphasizes the faithfulness of God. And whenever you're reading the story of any of the kings in the Old Testament, be sure to read them in both places. Read what the book of Kings records, then read what he says about that same person in the book of Chronicles. and you'll often learn some nice thing about God's kindness and faithfulness and mercy when you read the same story in 2 Chronicles. Now we're told in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 that God was very kind to this fellow, that he sent trouble. Would you say, that doesn't sound like kindness? Oh, yes, it is. You mistake the kindness of God sometimes because you don't realize that the best thing that God could possibly do is to bring trouble into your life. I've often told about a time that I stepped on something and cut my heel. And not wanting my parents to know about it, I took another boy's advice and put some turpentine on it. He said it would heal it up. It did, with all the infection inside. And in a day or two, I had a really sore foot. Then I had to be taken to a doctor, and he probed that. Now, wasn't that unkind of a doctor to take a knife and dig around in a boy's sore heel? No, it wasn't unkind at all. He knew there was something in there that had to come out. And God dug into Manasseh's life. This is how he did it. We're told in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, "So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore, that is because they would not listen to his word, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, or chains, and carried him to Babylon." Now, was that good for Manasseh? Yes, it was good for him. How about that sickness that came into your life? How about that trouble? How about the time you lost a loved one? Was that good? Yes, it was good. And if you didn't hear God's voice in it, you ought to listen a little bit. God was doing this to bring Manasseh back to himself. Now, Manasseh had had his own way for many years, and his own way was bad. But now God sent trouble. He sent another king to take him captive. And he was taken among the thorns. Another version says he was punished with thorns. I don't know what it meant, but I do know the thorns came into this world originally because of sin. God sent thorns when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and our world has been plagued with them ever since. They tell us of the curse. Then he was chained. He was bound. I don't know how sin has tied you up, but I'm mighty sure it has done so. You say, well, I can take it or leave it alone. I can break these habits anytime I wish. But you don't wish. That's the sad part of it. The very fact that you go on like this shows that it does have a hold on you, and you may find that when you want to get away, you can't. And this man was carried away to Babylon, taken away from the house of God which he had polluted, taken away from the people of God whom he had misled, taken away from his family. And while he was there, it says, when he was in affliction, this is verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 33, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. Now I know someone is saying, well, you don't expect me to do that. If I get into trouble, I'm not going to turn back to God then. Well, you're very foolish if you don't, for that's why God permits these things oftentimes. He did turn back to God, and then it says, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. God was very kind in bringing this man back, the worst king that Judah ever had, one of the worst sinners in all the Old Testament. God heard him, answered him, forgave him, restored him. And then he knew that the Lord was the true God. He knew God after that. Now from this, I think we can learn two or three lessons. First of all, we can learn that sin is terrible. Young people, don't ever play with sin. It dishonors God. It wrecks the life. It ruins the body. It injures other people. You don't know the sadness you brought to your own parents already, and eventually it will sink you into hell. Another lesson we should learn is that retribution is sure. Judgment is bound to come. God is not mocked. Don't you be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you reap far more than you sow. It may be slow, because sentence against an evil is not executed speedily. The prophet says, therefore the heart of the sons of men is set in them to do evil. We say that the mills of God's justice turn slowly, but they grind very fine. Now, trouble may bring you back to God, or it may harden you and turn you away. But whatever you do, let me assure you that God is merciful and long-suffering. None are beyond His hope and beyond His reach. Where there's life, there's hope, we say. And God is just simply waiting for you to turn to Him. Don't you realize that the Lord Jesus took the thorns and the fetters for us? He was bound. He was crowned with a crown of thorns. He took the suffering that we should have had. In the 3 hours while the darkness settled down over Him, He suffered everything that you and I ever would suffer for our own sins. And now, God is calling on all men everywhere to repent. Acts 20 and 21 says we preach repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the preachers of a few centuries ago used to shout to the people, turn or burn. And I say it in kindness to you, friends. Be as wise as Manasseh was. Turn to the Lord Jesus and find how willing and glad He is to take your sins away and to make you His own. Our Father, we ask You to bless Thy word to all who have listened. Help us who are believers to appreciate the kindness and mercy of God and to hate sins.